And just like that, Donald Trump gets what he wants with Greenland, and Mark Carney has been backed into a real prisoner's dilemma when it comes to China. Seems like his speech is going to come back to bite him in the butt, especially with some stuff going on around India as well. And obviously there were some big clips from Trump's speech today, but two of them I think need to be talked about more that didn't get enough press. And the huge news came after his speech, which we need to get into, especially with the new big news that two massive foreign companies might be moving their operations down to the US. Seems like there's a disconnect between the foreign politicians and what the corporations actually want, which is a good time for us to remind ourselves how dangerous it is to work with China. We got some details there. There's a lot to talk about in today's video. So let's get into it. Just quickly, we're going to cover a group of the clips from Donald Trump's speech. Some of them you might have seen, and some of them I think need a bit more attention, but it'll all help tell the story with Donald Trump's big win today.
We never asked for anything, and we never got anything. We probably won't get anything unless I decide to use excessive strength and force where we would be, frankly, unstoppable. But I won't do that. Okay, now everyone's saying, oh, good. That's probably the biggest statement I made, because people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force.
So that clip you might have seen, but on the Canadian side, it obviously didn't get a lot of coverage because they really want to keep the liberal boomers riled up and angry and elbows up 2.0, that they need to be scared of the military force of Donald Trump and the Americans coming and taking over. And trust me, we'll get into some cringe statements later on about that. But I think it's really interesting now that we know the announcement that came out. I think Donald Trump knew a lot of this was coming. And I think that's why he was saying, look, we don't need military force. We could if we wanted to. We're not going to do it, because he knew the announcement would be coming through shortly of the deal getting approved. And we also have this clip. And I think specifically Donald Trump handled this pretty well. And I'll explain why in a second.
For national and international security, and to keep our very energetic and dangerous potential enemies at bay, is this land on which we're going to build the greatest golden dome ever built. We're building a golden dome that's going to, just by its very nature, going to be defending Canada. Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way. They should be grateful also, but they're not. I watched your prime minister yesterday. He wasn't so grateful. But they should be grateful to us. Canada lives because of the United States. Remember that, Mark, the next time you make your statements.
So obviously, you know, people have taken that as like the big threat against Canada and all of that stuff. But I think here's what we have the situation. Obviously, Mark Carney made his entire speech yesterday just about the rest of the world ganging up against America, you know, moving away from America, aligning with China, and saying, you know, America's breaking all the rules. They're being all the bad guys. They're being bullies. They're being really bad. And I do think, if Donald Trump had really gone out of his way to beat down on Canada, if Donald Trump had gone out of his way to specifically be like, Canada sucks, we're going to take over them, and overreacted to all of the taunting from Carney yesterday, I think that would have done too much work for Carney, and it would have given Carney too much credit, and it would have been seen as Trump punching down on Canada to a point where some of the countries and some of the people who were on the fence about Carney's statement and on the fence about working with China would be that much more interested in working with China. And now that Donald Trump's dialing down the rhetoric, all these other countries go, okay, do we really have to now ditch the US and go work with China? Is that really something that we have to do? And it'll actually be a big important point for later on, which we will be talking about. But this is the stuff that came out after some of his speech clips, which has got us to the actual deal. He had some reporters throwing some conjecture, some allegations at him, and I thought he handled this well, especially based on the announcement.
The Danish foreign minister rejected what you said in your speech, that you were hoping to negotiate to acquire Greenland, essentially saying that this is not something that they are willing to discuss. So what will those negotiations
look like? Well, they didn't tell me that. So when they tell me, because I don't like any.
So she said the Danish foreign minister rejected your claim to acquire Greenland, and he's basically saying, well, he didn't tell me that.
I think it's secondhand. If he wants to tell me, he'll tell me that to my face.
And when will you be discussing this?
I have no idea.
When you said you
I'll be discussing it with this man right here.
Which he did end up discussing, and it looks like Donald Trump is getting exactly what he wants with Greenland, which is the big news. Before we get into that, I found this meme, which I was going to play before the announcement, but it's Marcus Rubius finding out he has to lead an assault on Greenland. And then this is the meme that they keep using, different templates of that. And I find that really funny, but this is the actual announcement and statement from Donald Trump here. And like I just heard somebody say today, and I can't remember who it was, so I apologize for not giving them credit. The way they worded it was perfect. They said, you don't take Donald Trump literally, but you take him seriously. So when he has a plan around something, when he has a goal, it's going to look like this. So know that his general goal is serious, but the way to get there is probably going to change. And it looks like he got exactly what he wanted. And he said, based upon a productive meeting that I had with the Secretary General of NATO, Marco Rutte, which is the guy from the other clip, we have formed a framework of a future deal with respect to Greenland and, in fact, the entire Arctic region. This solution, if consummated, I like the sound of that, will be a great one for the United States of America and all NATO nations. Based on this understanding, I will not be imposing the tariffs that were scheduled to go into effect February 1st. Additional discussions are being held concerning the Golden Dome as it pertains to Greenland. Further information will be made available as discussions progress. Vice President J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Marcus Rubius, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and various others, maybe Spencer Gatton, YouTube tycoon, who knows, as needed, will be responsible for the negotiations. They will report directly to me. And we've already seen off the back of this news that markets are starting to go up because obviously the EU had said they were going to break the free trade agreement with the United States if those tariffs came through. And I think the biggest victims of all are the Canadian liberal boomers who are going to lose their opportunity to live in a fantasy land and pretend they are going to take on the US. So we've got this tweet here. It was from Laura Babcock, who's absolutely insane Canadian lady. And what we have is a boomer saying, Laura, I'm 71 years old and I've had a good life. And then he goes on to brag about himself and how qualified he is because his grandpa fought in World War I and his dad fought in World War II. But this guy never actually served. This guy's not actually a vet, but he is a liberal boomer in Canada and basically talking about how good he is at shooting and blah, 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 all this stuff. Hilarious liberal cringe. I was born a free Canadian and I will die a free Canadian. Charlie is right. I have five guys just on my street alone that would join the citizen army. I will, and my wife, she has stage 4 lung cancer. First of all, sorry to hear that, but the idea that his wife, the cancer patient, is going to fight to the last breath to protect, that seems like a poor joke about his wife. Fight to the last breath and she has lung cancer. You're going to say that about your wife, man? That's some interesting comedic timing. Fight to the last breath to protect our great country from Trump and anyone else. Elbows up and ammo up, Canada. These are the statements of the liberal boomers inside of Canada. And that's why I want people to know the anti-American sentiment from these liberal boomers is real. It's longstanding. And for some reason, the liberal boomers all think they're John Rambo. And I can't figure out why, because I want people to know that this sentiment is real. Linda confirmed, my husband told me at the seniors curling club, hilarious, objectively hilarious. My husband told me at the seniors curling club, they were talking about the U.S. threat to Canada, saying that if war comes, they'll be kamikaze squad taking their weapons to the border to unalive as many Americans as they can. People are anxious but resolute. They will defend Canada. They will only defend Canada against Americans. However, Operation Curibomb and unlimited foreign entrepreneurs who are going to keep their CPP and their pension alive so that they don't have to worry, those are fine. Unlimited Indians to Canada. Send them in. Send them in. Americans, Canada's best friend, the one we share the border with. If they want to take over Canada, we have kamikaze seniors ready to hit the front line. So if that doesn't make the Americans quake in their boots, I don't know what will. And luckily, actually, they were able to send some footage of the boys at the curling club. So this is her husband after he got home. Feeling like a real superhero. I wish I could play the song that is accompanied with this video because it makes it so much funnier. But basically, that is the perfect description of the liberal boomers here. Here's another one of the clips from Trump's speech, which I didn't think got anywhere near enough coverage. But Trump talked about two huge things that I want to cover, this being one of them.
One of the biggest barriers to saving for a down payment has been surging credit card debt. The profit margin for credit card companies now exceeds 50%, one of the biggest. And they charge Americans interest rates of 28%, 30%, 31%, 32%. What have happened to usury?
I love that delivery there. Whatever happened to usury? First of all, crazy to hear a president use the term usury. I feel like you haven't heard that in a while. So I was just happy that he was talking about this because we've talked about the credit card companies on the channel. Once again, read the book Fleeced that I've talked about, and they sort of break down what's been going on with the credit card companies and all this stuff over time. The idea that they can just charge whatever they want and profitability is insane. And feel free to disagree down below. I know there's a lot of free market people are going to say, you know, you weren't forced to sign up for the credit cards. And I agree, but I also do think usury is a problem. So that was nice to see. This is another one of the really short clips from his speech I want to show before we get into some of the company news and some of Trump's other hilarious statements that he made after the speech, which I want to cover.
Great military. The situation in Minnesota reminds us that the West cannot mass import foreign cultures, which have failed to ever build a successful society of their own. I mean, we're taking people from Somalia, and Somalia is a failed, it's not a nation. Got no government, got no police, got no military, got no nothing.
I agree, and that logic makes 100% sense. And when he says the West cannot mass import foreign cultures, which can't build their own nations, build their own countries, yes. Thank you, Donald Trump, for saying that, because the idea that these people are coming over from these nations which barely exist, Somalia is roaming warlords essentially, and that is those are the people we're bringing over because they build America, they build Canada. They can't build back home, but certainly here in America and Canada they can build. And him calling it out that directly, this is the most obvious logic ever, and you don't have to study rocket appliances to understand that what Trump just said right there is true. Speaking of what Trump said is true, there's also this hilarious clip of him talking about meeting one of the owners of Toyota, and this is where Trump is at his best. I love this.
These great companies coming in. Apple is spending $650 billion. I mean, it's so many. One just announced $10 billion. Toyota. Met Mr. Toyota in Japan. So what's your name? Toyota. I said, oh, do you own the car company? Yes, 92%. I said, you didn't have to be that specific. But I said, you're rich. Yes, yes, I'm rich.
But yes, yes, I'm rich.
He just announced he's going to do $10 billion worth of plants. I mean, it's amazing what's going on. Look, it's amazing. We've never had anything like it or close. Nobody else has either.
We got to get Donald Trump doing a Chinese accent. That would be one of the best things I could ever see. He's already slipping in to this minor Japanese accent. Him doing that there when he's doing the impression of the owner of Toyota was so funny to me when I first saw that clip. Like, oh, yes, yes, I'm rich. Oh, I own 92%. But speaking of rumors of huge announcements of companies coming into the U.S. and showing why Mark Carney is going to be backing himself into a corner with this prisoner's dilemma, which I will be elaborating on shortly. It's alleged that President Trump has reached a deal with Rolls-Royce to move its $1.6 trillion jet engine project and 40,000 jobs from the UK to the US. I'm going to say I've heard this rumor before that there was some jet engine talk coming to the US. $1.6 trillion, 40,000 jobs. Seems like there might be some exaggeration on those numbers there, but regardless, this is where the sentiment shows. And this is a rumor, so it doesn't prove the full sentiment, but what does is the confirmed, and this is huge, because if you think of the political climate of what's going on in Canada right now, and GFL is choosing to move its head office to the US to qualify for inclusion in the US stock indexes. And if you don't know, GFL is a huge waste removal company in Canada. You see their trucks everywhere, you know, multi-billion dollar company. They're massive. And they're choosing, it's actually really funny, because they're choosing to move from Toronto down to Miami, and they're just bringing down the executives. And the executives are like, yeah, sure, I'll move down to Miami. And then we get listed on the US stock market. Not a bad gig. And again, this is where it's really showing how Carney messed up and Donald Trump continues to get what he wants. Because the prisoner's dilemma is this. We've got the Chinese ambassadors, the Chinese people at the World Economic Forum saying things that the world cannot return to the law of the jungle where the strong prey on the weak. But don't worry, China is willing to be not only the world's factory, but also the world's market. So somehow China is going to be the world's factory, and then they're going to sell that stuff into their own market, and the other countries are going to benefit. And that's where it starts to build this prisoner's dilemma. Because right now, Mark Carney is telling the world to mount up and take on the US. We're going to go work with China. All the middle economy countries, we can build a something great and then take on the US. However, this is the problem. If Canada and a bunch of the other countries start to work with China, that's that's going to leave the other countries who decide to stay with the U.S. in a much better position. They're going to get more access to the U.S. markets. They're going to get more favorable negotiating positions because they're choosing to willingly work with the U.S. while other countries are choosing to take them on. So now you have other countries going, uh-oh, what if those countries, what if Germany chooses to stay with the U.S. and we go to work with China? What if France chooses to work with the U.S. and we chose to go with China? What if this, you know, what if we get undercut by these other countries? And that's why I'm calling it the prisoner's dilemma, because ultimately these countries can't trust each other. And we got this reminder here. This is from Ken Chow. He's always covering China in these situations, and he calls out China and Mark Carney directly, because the reason this needs to be called out is Mark Carney's speech from yesterday was nonsense. It was a complete and utter lie. Everything he said as far as Canada's performance and things that are being done, even some of his stats were misquoted during, oh, you know, Canada and the Nordic countries, that's 20% of the global GDP. No, it's not even close. Mount up with us. We're going to go work with China. Meanwhile, Trump just got the Greenland deal that he wanted today, which is going to lower the confrontation that are happening with the EU, and they're going to be more likely to want to continue to work with the US, which goes back to people saying, is Carney doing a managed decline of Canada? Is Carney doing this on purpose to make Canada such a threat, such a poorly managed threat at that, where the US is going to have no choice but to just come over and take over Canada? And that could very well be the case. Let's listen to what Ken has to say here. Smart guy.
Carney's central claim is that the post-World War II order is ruptured. But here's the question few people at Davos wants to answer. Who ruptured it? Was it the US Navy keeping the sea lanes open? Was it the dollar system underwriting global trade? Was it American consumers absorbing the world's exports for decades and allowing its domestic manufacturing to be hollowed out? Or was it China weaponizing supply chains, China stealing IP at industrial scale, and sending its spies to infiltrate the free world?
Which has been happening in Canada in multiple countries. Not only that, the deal that was just done with China that we, oh, look, they can buy the canola seed and they can do this. Even Scott Moe, who was saying, oh, you know, Carney did a great job, and the media saying he did such a great job, he admitted, well, that really just puts us in the same position that we were before. We were just being punished by these tariffs. We were just being coerced, whatever you want to say, bullied by China with their tariffs. That was something that was happening. So removing them just got us to status quo. It wasn't getting ahead, because China was doing this on top of stealing IP, which is a big concern.
China coercing neighbors economically and militarily. China tearing up trade rules it promised to honor when joining the WTO. Because last time I checked, the rules didn't collapse. China violated them. The system didn't fail. One participant decided that the rules no longer apply to them. And people like Carney loves the phrase great power coercion. Sounds neutral. Sounds academic. Sounds sophisticated.
That's another thing I want to say about Carney's stupid speech is people are, well, this is one of the most articulate prime ministers we've ever had. He really went out there, and you could tell he knew his stuff, and he's such a smart guy. I actually think it's the opposite. When you have these leaders coming out and they're using words, we really need to catalyze this relationship, and, you know, all these things that he was using. And what you need to do, if you're an effective leader, you need to get your message out there. And all that did is it impressed the liberal elite, who were like, oh yeah, look at these terminology he's using. It's all business jargon. It's corporate jargon that essentially means nothing. But Donald Trump does a much better job when he communicates, because the average person can listen to Trump speak and know what is being said, where Carney just makes stuff up and obfuscates. And I used the word obfuscate on purpose because I wanted to show I can do it too.
But it's also cowardly, because lumping the US and China together as equal disruptors is intellectual malpractice. Let's be very clear. The US uses tariffs. China uses hostage diplomacy. Carney can consult with the two Canadian Michaels detained in Chinese prisons for more details. The US pressures allies. China threatens invasion. The US enforces trade rules. China rewrites them after cheating and stealing. So one side enforces norms badly. The other side destroys norms intentionally.
And I think that's the big difference and why I was so annoyed that people keep giving China this benefit of the doubt. If you want to use a behavior perspective, talk about Taiwan, because, you know, Mark Carney's really doubling down on the one China and supporting China, just taking over Taiwan, even militarily. But for some reason, Donald Trump wanting to take ownership of Greenland, even with a purchase, was a huge deal. Using Ken's logic here and what we've talked about on the channel, yes, the US is doing things in a way that people don't like, but it's within the system. China undercuts. China steals. China is always trying to find ways to break the rules, use other different subsidies, and try and undercut the market. And I really want to actually take this time to say it's always a good idea to separate governments from their people in every single country. So that does include China, of course. But we can see that Mark Carney doubling down on this security threat, on this economic threat, giving us less leverage and putting us in a subservient position to China is going to be tough, because if all of these countries don't come over, we'll be in a bad position. So now he's doubling down on leaving negotiations with the United States, with Trump, going to meet in India after meeting in China, trying to get that deal. So India and China are both security threats and economic threats directly with Canada. And again, I have no problem with us selling them our products, especially our resources, getting a trade deal done with these nations where we sell them our stuff. That's not a bad thing. All of these trade deals are them coming in and owning Canadian infrastructure, including a pipeline that China's trying to steal. But anyways, we got to get into this India stuff.
It might seem odd to be thinking about India while standing here amidst the Swiss Alps, but that is indeed where the Carney government is now casting its mind as the next big trade opportunity for Canada.
India's year-over-year growth is about 7%, so they need food, they need energy, we have that.
Prime Minister Carney has been working on boosting Canada's relatively minuscule trade with India ever since he invited Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi to the G7 last summer. The two men picked up on conversations at the G20 summit in South Africa. Now, developing a relationship with Modi, who is a Hindu nationalist, is not without controversy, especially among Canada's Sikh population.
I don't really care about their opinion that much. What I do care about is there are election interference allegations against India. We've had Indian foreign agents on Canadian soil as well. You can't trust India. So if we think that we're getting some awesome deal with India and the US comes by, the phone call is going to be like, Modi, I thought you were supposed to be doing a deal with Canada. Hey, buddy, how doing? It's Modi. I know you're supposed to do a deal, but Donald Trump offered me something better. Modi, I had your guarantee that you're going to be working with us. So you're supposed to take on the US. Hey, buddy, how doing? I know, buddy, how doing? So here's the problem, buddy, how doing? He offered me more money and I do not care about Canada, buddy. But don't worry, buddy, we will send you charity because we keep stealing all your jobs from your corporate companies and your banks. Don't worry, buddy, how doing? And then Canada is going to be in a crappy position. But I can actually understand why Carney wants to work with India. You know, why the Canadians are really wanting to mount up, invite in more Operation Carney Bomb and these foreign entrepreneurs. Because what we're seeing come out of India is really impressive. Their space program in particular. We got this new announcement that the Indians are going to be the first ones on Mars. Here we go.
That's one small step for a man. One giant red dump for mankind.
Awesome stuff. Groundbreaking from the Indians there. Impressive scientists. They are going to get us to the moon and then to Mars. But this is why we need to really call out Carney's leadership, because the Canadian news is continuing to recover its stories that we are getting record food bank usage inside of Canada. I wonder what Carney just said about having to feed your population and how bad it is when you can't, when this story says that the food bank usage is up 300% since 2019. And before you people say Mark Carney's only been prime minister for a year, it's basically the same Liberal Party, and Mark Carney has been an economic advisor to Justin Trudeau since 2020, 2021. So he's been involved for a while. In fact, he was one of the people who said they should be seizing, going after the money of the protesters' bank accounts. But then we got this story here. The US is not Canada's problem, because they're saying Canadian food prices hit highest level of growth in inflation since 2023, and it's all policy driven inside of Canada.
If you already feel your wallet being squeezed every time you walk into a grocery store, then the latest numbers on food inflation may be a little bit hard to stomach. That's because Statistics Canada shows that food prices rose by around 6.2% over the past year. That's double the rate compared to the United States and the highest
Double the rate compared to the United States. So Canada continues to lose jobs. And that's why, once again, Canadians, if you hear that anti-American sentiment from those cringe liberals who continue to pretend like they're going to be kamikaze fighters at the border because they need to really stand up for Canada while we have unlimited Operation Curry-Bomb destroying Canada from the inside. We have young Canadians who are going to food banks in record level. We have people right now in Canada they should probably be fighting for. Call them out because they're hypocrites. It's not real. But if you made it this far in the video, you absolutely rock. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We're trying to get these videos out in front of more people. We are trying to grow the channel. If you want to support the channel, you can do it through the link down below. You can also do it directly through YouTube. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.